Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
It is day 31 in the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. Of course, she is the mother of today's show host, Savannah Guthrie. And for the first time in weeks, Sheriff Chris Nanos, he sat down with the Today Show and proclaimed that investigators are, quote unquote, definitely closer, assuming that means closer to finding a suspect or suspects in this utterly bizarre case. He told Savannah Guthrie's colleagues at the Today Show that the case can absolutely be solved. We're going to watch that interview together in just a moment. But what is the word closer actually mean?
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. Don't call it a show. Don't call it a podcast. This is the global phenomenon, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime with more than 50 countries. And there's only like 193. Soon we'll be at least 51, but at least 50 countries represented in this community that is the best in all of the YouTubes. Hard to believe we're into the second month in the search for Nancy Guthrie that has gone from desperate to whatever is more than desperate. And this morning, Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos spoke exclusively to the Today Show, to NBC. Of course, that is Savannah Guthrie's home away from home. And he said that we are, quote unquote, definitely closer. We've got an all-star big panel tonight. First time best guest here, and happy to welcome him. He is a current sergeant with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, Sergeant Aaron Cross. And if he looks like he was a former SWAT guy, are you a current SWAT guy, Aaron?
No, former.
Former. If he looks like a former SWAT guy, it's because he was. He was. We got the whole gang back here, and I love it. Kurt Dabb, Pima County homicide detective, coming to us straight from Tucson. Bob Krieger, you know him. He is the retired lieutenant, a SWAT commander, telling guys like Sergeant Aaron Cross what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And last but not least, I don't know Greg that well, but he's already a personal favorite, and I'll tell you why in a second. Greg Rogers is here. He is retired, deep undercover FBI. He teaches at the college level, but these young bucks were all talking about SWAT, and Greg Rogers chimed in and said, I used to be a sniper too back in the day. So that's a cool cat right there. I have no idea what to do. Although my traffic in Miami got so bad today, I almost went to I bought one of those ridiculous batons off of Facebook, which I should not be publicly advertising. And I almost had to go to it today. Things got very tense, very, very tense in the car ride. But so, Sergeant Aaron Cross, let me start with you. And by the way, COE gets all the credit, Space Coast, Steve Cohen. However, I may or may not have told the COE at 9:30 this morning that the only thing I must have today is this Today Show interview, and eventually it'll get there. That might have me on the couch tonight. I don't know. But Sergeant Aaron Cross, to you, from a bird's eye view, and you're still working right now, what are your thoughts? I mean, this has got to be not only the most bizarre case Tucson has seen, but maybe that we have seen in this country in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it is bizarre. Although Tucson's no stranger to bizarre. It seems like every 5 or 10 years we have something strange. Mm-hmm. Krieger probably knows about this more than me. We had a bombing in the 90s, a car bombing, murder for hire. The Gabby Giffords tragedy happened, I mean, I think within 5 miles of where this incident happened with Nancy. So Tucson's just a kind of a strange little town, but this one is definitely an unusual case for us, for anybody. And so that's why we're grateful to have the FBI helping us out.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, I'll let you you kind of discuss because you're obviously a lot more comfortable with it. But Aaron is currently working, but you're also president of the union. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Because we're going to play in a couple of minutes, we're going to play some sound from Chris Nanos. But I just want people to know you have a little bit of a history there. What are you able to tell us?
I can speak freely on matters of public concern, so I can discuss a lot of things because that's a pretty wide scope. The public's interested in this case and the department and how it's run, poorly or otherwise. And so I can discuss a lot of things. So if you got questions, I'll answer best I can.
Awesome. Thank you. And I will have questions. Someone here is asking Carm to step in so I don't get here come the COEs coming in. Hopefully she didn't hear me discussing a lot of what I was. That wasn't that bad. Greg Rogers, to you, obviously you spent years in the FBI, deep undercover, got tons of respect for that. But I, in doing research today, which I know a lot of people don't think I do, but I actually occasionally do. I did see that you sort of doubled down on this not being some sort of home invasion gone wrong. That's not what you think. And that's contrary to what a lot of other law enforcement officials I've had on have said. They believe it is something like a home invasion gone bad. So what is your theory, 31 days into this now?
The reason I think it's not a home invasion gone bad, a lot of reasons, but, primarily I worked groups that, interstate groups that do this for a living, and they're slick. And they case the residences, especially in a neighborhood like that, they case the residences, they pick a residence that they believe has, something a lot more valuable than like TV sets. I mean, they're looking for something worth their time and effort. And the last thing they're going to do is hit a house when it's almost guaranteed somebody's home. And if you're hitting a house in that neighborhood at that time, it's almost guaranteed someone's going to be there, unless you've been casing it and they've left for vacation or something. But and there haven't been any real reports that anything valuable was missing. So I just don't think it's a burglary gone wrong.
I'm sorry. I should not have done what I just did, which is interrupt, which is a horrible habit of a host. However, let me ask you this. I mean, I assume you think it was targeted, but do you believe it was a quote unquote traditional kidnapping / abduction?
My theory is that it was a kidnapping, but it was unfortunately carried out by very unprofessional people who sort of took advantage of a situation. I think it's highly likely that someone that knew Mrs. Guthrie or had been in the house, whether that's a maintenance worker or yard worker, pool, who knows, healthcare worker. But I think they had some information from somebody and they thought they could pull this off. But they're not pros. They couldn't have done it less professionally. And that's very concerning.
Yeah. Well, so, Greg, the obvious follow up, and I will get to all the guests, I promise. But the obvious follow up to that, I know, would be, well, Greg, if these guys are so unprofessional, why are we 31 days in? Your response?
because they're so unprofessional. they haven't been able to handle the ransom notes appropriately. They don't know what they're doing as far as that. The only upside is, because I think this is a group of untalented individuals, hopefully one of them will think it's worth $1 million to give up his buddies because they're not going to want to do the time. So we've solved a number of cases off of tips like that, and we'll take luck whenever we can get it if it brings home somebody safely. So that's my prognostication of how we're going to need some luck. And hopefully one of the people that is involved in this mess is just going to decide they're going to make a play for the money.
Look at this. The COE is telling everyone that she's a little late. We're pretty aware since the one interview I needed is not available, but I know we'll get it. Little marital tension on the air never hurt anybody. Greg, someone up here, right here, look at this. And we've got a little time since we're waiting for the Today Show clip. Can Greg opine on some of the type of undercover that he did? Generally, you guys can't talk too much about it, but are you able to share? Last night, we heard SWAT stories from Bob. Tonight, how about an FBI undercover before we dig back into...
Sure. I was really fortunate. The last 20 years I was with the FBI, I was a certified undercover. And when I had about 13 or 14 years before I had to retire, they called me in and asked me if I wanted to do it full time. I honestly thought it was a joke, but they told me we were putting together a team. And so my last 13, 14 years, I was a full-time undercover. So when I was in the States, I was riding with biker gangs, rode with a lot of different outlaw motorcycle gangs, joined militia groups because there's a lot of that out here in Montana and Idaho. One whole side of my chest is a patch of one militia group I was a member of because they made me the sergeant of arms. And if you had to get tatted if you were going to be an officer. So when they made me the sergeant of arms, I had to get their tat. So I still have that. And then I did a whole lot of work overseas, mainly in Southeast Asia and a bunch of different countries, child sex tourism matters. And we just went over there going after American citizens that traveled to Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines, my gosh, Indonesia, Thailand, all sorts of different countries. We'd go over there and go after American citizens who were traveling to have sex with minors. And yeah, so it was busy, but it was a whole lot of fun.
Wow. You guys, my friends, are looking at American heroes right here. These guys literally, I talked about this last night, but I really cannot emphasize it enough. You know, from Aaron to Kurt to Greg to Bob, these guys literally put their lives on the line. And then just to hear Greg talking about going to Southeast Asia. These are the, you know, despicable people who sex traffic young children to foreign countries. Yep. And he was there trying to make the world a better place. So I can't thank you enough. And Kurt Dabb, what's cooler, being a SWAT commander that can kill someone in a tenth of a second or being a deep undercover for the FBI?
Bro, I'm telling you, a deep undercover. I did that. That's why I was an infantry man when I was in the Army. So I got to run around and do hut, hut, hut. But working undercover, and as soon as Greg, you know, popped on and I saw him, I was like, man, I bet my paycheck that dude worked bikers and militias.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of that. I get a lot of, you don't look like an FBI agent. My response is, that was the point.
Judy Herbert, very generous. Thank you for that. And that's wild. So you got this giant tattoo on your chest and it stays as a reminder of your work.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of ink, and I think I've only got one tat that I didn't get as part of a case. So I got biker ink. I got, you know, different things I had to get from different cases. So I used to
you got any prison ink?
My supervisors would always joke around and say, now, is the Bureau going to take those off? I'm like, no, man, these will be funny stories for my students and, you know, kids. So it's, yeah, they're, they, yeah. So Yeah, it's thank you all. It was your tax dollars that paid for all my ink. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Lieutenant Bob, to you, someone said, look, I mean, we're about to watch the Chris Nanos interview. And by the way, the COE takes care of absolutely everything. And I know that because today I had to do some fill-in work, and just commuting around Miami is rough, but she gets it all done. So kudos to the COE. Shout out to Space Coast for handling this trial that we've been covering with Corey Richens and Steve Cohen. Book's the best guest. If you find a better panel than this on anything, let alone Nancy Guthrie, let me know. I'll get you your money back. But Lieutenant Bob, to you, it was Amy who had a comment saying, look, he's giving out these individual interviews almost like, you know, like candy on Halloween, but he's got to have a press conference. At this point, as a former broadcast news guy, I'm sort of thinking she is right. Like, there are so many questions. It feels like no one has any idea what's happening. Everyone's head is spinning. It's a global story, not just a story here. Is it time for him to step back in front of the camera, whether we like him or not, and say, hey, this is what's happening. We're working the case. Even if he doesn't give you real tangible stuff, Bob, is it time to address the public?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of chill out gummies. They just calm you, and I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
It is, but it might not be time for him to address the public. We've all seen how that can devolve really quickly. The Sheriff's Department has paid members who are PIOs who do this for a living. He can stand there, he can do things, but I do think that you know, things need to be pushed out. That's just the way the system works. But he is not the best one to deliver those messages most times. He gets wrapped up in his thoughts and he gets emotional. Even if he's not getting pushback, he sometimes just repeats himself over and over and over. We've seen that. And I think it's done more harm than good for the investigators, just from a public perception of, you know, I think a lot of people think this is some backwoods agency that doesn't really know what they're doing because of the way he's portrayed it, which is the farthest thing from the truth. They're incredibly professional, incredibly skilled men and women doing this. But I do think that they need to stand up there, have a nice little panel, him, some FBI folks, the PIO, maybe the supervisor who's running the entire investigation, who knows exactly what to put out there. Those are the people who should be probably talking on the matter. And like you said, we talked yesterday, we don't need to know everything, but there are things that, you know, can be helpful, that can, you know, get some things going in the public's eye. And the investigators, the supervisors, they know what to put out. The sheriff knows what's to put out. It's just the way it's messaged that sometimes has a problem that, you know, we've all seen over the last 30 days now.
Yeah. This question is comes at a fortuitous moment because I was literally going to Kurt. Kurt's the one that's actually spoken openly about this. But a question for the panel from Nature Bound. And then I promise we're going to get to this Chris Nanos interview. And by the way, I think it's Kurt and Greg who might have to bounce at the top of the hour. Whenever you guys have to go, you guys are, you know, snipers. Just tell me and I'll let you go. Question for the panel. Kurt, most of you are retired. What kind of toll does years of this kind of work do to you? And thank you for your service. Oh, I think you're muted, Kurt.
Yeah, rookie mistake.
Yeah.
No, it definitely takes its toll. I had to medically retire in November of 2021. And that's some of the issues that I had with the sheriff's department, with the command staff at the time. But I had divulged that I, you know, had PTSD. I'm a combat veteran as well, you know, and 20 years of cop work. You know, a couple of officer-involved shootings, quite a few critical incidents, you know, 7 years in homicide definitely takes its toll. The past 4 years, I've been doing different modalities of therapies, whether it's EMDR, equine therapy. I've gone to the Boulder Crest Retreat, which is for combat veterans and law enforcement. Wow. I've done ketamine therapy. I've done an ayahuasca ceremony. It takes its toll. But you don't have to be, I think a lot of people, you know, are like, all right, you know, if a cop gets into shooting, man, it's automatically they're going to get PTSD. Well, you know, that's not the case. Cops see gruesome car accidents all the time. You know, we go to horrific domestic violence calls. Those are the things that we see frequently that, you know, cause, PTSD. And if it's left untreated, you know, the recipe for a cop is you drink yourself to death and you beat your wife, you beat your kids, kick your dog, you end up getting arrested and, you know, whatever happens after that. So I'm 16 years sober. Quitting drinking was the biggest part of my therapy, part of my recovery. And
kudos to you, man. I am the son of a psychiatrist who has passed on, which is hard for me to believe still, and the son of a social worker. And getting the therapy is, I think, something everyone should do, but definitely people who have been through the stress that you have been through. So kudos to you for being, quote unquote, man enough or woman enough to talk about it. And our friend now, Chief Chris Anderson, who is running for sheriff of Jefferson County. You guys know him from the show First 48. He's on the show a lot. He has a book out called Man, You're Crazy, about the mental health issues that law enforcement has to deal with. And maybe I'll put together a panel. That's what I should do with him and Kurt and a few others, just to talk about it and maybe put it out there in the public eye a little bit more. But other things can make you crazy, like your boss, Sergeant Aaron Cross. And we're about to listen to him. He says in this interview, second night in a row this has happened, but he said in the interview that we're definitely closer. What's your read on that right now?
That's impossible to know what he means by that. You know, I'm obviously not privy to what's going on inside the investigation. It's now pushed over to this FBI/PCSD task force. And so maybe he's privy to something that we're not. It's pretty vague that we're getting closer. I'm not sure what that means. Whether he's referencing that this car might have something, some bearing on the case or not, or maybe he just knows some nugget of the case that we're just not privy to. So it's really hard to say. You know, I'm of two minds. One is kind of what Lieutenant said is, put the PIO up there, put someone well-spoken and handle it. You know, the other half of me thinks, you know, this is a package deal. It's part of the job. Man up, get up there and answer questions and take your beating if you have to, but, you know, be prepared, be professional, try not to be emotional and do your job. And show the community that you deserve to be there. He fought very hard. Some would argue a little dirty to get that position, and it's his. So get up there and do your job.
You know, one of the tougher things is to get up and speak out against people in positions of power. So shout out to Aaron for having I was in that boat myself in totally different circumstances, but you know, I worked in different broadcast companies that weren't always didn't always have the best leaders, and you know, and they tie you down with things like NDAs and things like that. So I don't know if you deal with that on a law enforcement level, but there's plenty of things I would have to say about some of the different companies I work for. But criminally focused here. And Greg, I'm going to toss this to you being the FBI guy. That was a rehome invasion for ransom. There was a rehome invasion for ransom slash crypto in Scottsdale around the same time as Nancy disappeared. Do you think these are connected? I mean, I have to assume here, Greg, I had never heard of this, but I'd have to assume that the FBI has. I guess to what extent would the FBI be looking at anything that's remotely got the same footprint as this crime we're dealing with right now?
No, they would. The first thing they would do is try to see if, this task force would try to see if those were in any way related, any similarities. They'd have to either put them together or make sure they're not the same. But just from the basic facts you put in that question, that's more of a I don't know anything about that case. But if it's a place where they hit the house because they knew crypto was there and they actually issued ransom letters, did proof of life, that sort of thing, that's a professional job. That shows you that they knew what was there. They were after something very valuable. That's a different case. But, I don't know anything about that case. That's the first I've heard of it. But just from the basic thing she said, that's the way these things normally go. I mean, somebody, you don't just hit somebody randomly.
Bob, I mean, to you, and I'll dig into this with Aaron in a little bit, and we talked about this on the last couple of shows. Do you think that Sheriff Nanos now is maybe trying to, lift morale by saying that we're closer here? I mean, I think it would almost be like a dereliction of duty to say that we're closer if he's got nothing to indicate that. But I'm just curious why you think he might have release that one little nugget. And again, we're going to watch it in just a second.
Like Aaron said, it's difficult to say exactly why. If you look at it in an absolute vacuum, yes, we're closer today than we were yesterday to solving this case because we're 24 hours closer to whatever that end date is. So I wouldn't put it past him to be on that semantics train and just saying, hey, we are closer. At the same time, I do think a lot of things are still coming in. Tips are still coming in. Results are coming in from any testing that the investigators are doing. So one of those things could have popped. I would hope, if suspect information started coming in, absolute photos, there's a time to release that as well. Because sooner or later, you can only do so much police work on the ground. And you need the public's help to, if you can identify somebody with this photo and that. So, if things like that might start coming out, then sure. But, it's so difficult to say why that statement would be made. But there's been some other statements that were made that have a difficulty as to why they were made as well.
Yeah. Sandy here gifting 10 memberships. Thank you so much. And then our friend AR, sorry, trying to bring that up, AR Wyoming with the $10 super sticker. So without further ado, this is Chris Nanos, again, speaking to Savannah Guthrie's show, the Today Show in New York this morning. We'll take a listen together and then try to break it down, all of us, after the fact.
An emotional moment outside Nancy Guthrie's home Monday. Savannah, Annie, and her husband Tommaso visiting that growing memorial, seen in this video, laying yellow flowers and a card with this handwritten message. Though we are surrounded by so much darkness and uncertainty, our love burns bright. We love you, Mommy. We miss you so much. Savannah later sharing this image on Instagram, saying, "We feel the love and prayers from our neighbors, from the Tucson community, and from around the country." Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos tells us he's also not giving up hope.
So, Sheriff, it's been 30 days since Nancy Guthrie went missing. Are investigators any closer to finding the suspect or suspects?
I think the investigators are definitely closer. We got a lot of intel, a lot of leads, but now it's time to just go to work.
We also asked about that new Ring camera video obtained by Fox News Digital showing a car 2.5 miles away.
Yeah. Is this really something we should be looking at?
Look, what I would tell you is this. We're aware of it and we're looking into it, just like any other piece of evidence.
Have you been able to identify the car that drove past at 2:36 a.m.?
No.
No. But you are looking to identify it.
We're looking at that vehicle as well as hundreds of thousands of other vehicles that were out driving that time of day.
I'm going to just hold it right there because it's about halfway through. But Aaron Cross, to you, and for those just joining, Sergeant Cross is currently with Pima County. Just your general reaction to watching. I don't know if you saw the interview already, but your reaction to up to this point.
It's a lot of generalities. He's being very careful. I think he got burned a lot on the first appearances, and he's just trying to be careful. Like Lieutenant Krieger said, it's might be playing semantics with things. The car, we're aware of it. I was looking at a map, and it's an unlikely escape route for that vehicle to be related. It's possible. Those neighborhoods are confusing at night. And so if you're not intimately familiar, you could get turned around and he's trying to speed out of the area. So it's possible. From her house, you're more likely to go, I think, to Orange Grove or to Campbell to get out of there quickly. But maybe he got turned around after the crimes, just trying to get the hell out of there. Yeah. But it was a lot of generalities.
And thank you. And Greg, I mean, what they're talking about there, Greg, and I don't know if you saw this, there Fox News Digital got video in the same time frame that this crime happened, about 2 miles away, maybe 2.5 miles away, some cars going through some back roads at a high rate of speed. It was interesting to me that the sheriff just said they still have not been able to identify those vehicles, because just about everyone in our chat thinks that they've identified them as a Kia Soul and a Honda CRV. Right. But Greg, I mean, without giving away the trade secrets, and COE, I don't know if we can pull up that video real quick, but this is pretty clear video of these cars racing by at that time of night. Shouldn't the FBI be able to get us at least make model of the car, if not a license plate, Greg?
It would take about 5 minutes to give you the make and model and color of that car. That's easy work with a CART team, a computer response team that we do that all the time. That's actually a really good video. I mean, a lot of Ring camera and other video that see cars go by, you know, it's a blur. That's pretty good video. That really surprised me when he said that. I wonder if he just misunderstood the question and wanted to know if we'd identified it because of a plate. I mean, getting the plate's a lot more difficult, mm-hmm. but they already know the make and model of that car and what color it is. And not only that, they're you get all sorts of. When they do all the computer enhancement, you'd be amazed if there's like a dent or a broken, you know, tail light, things like that often show up in those computer enhancements. So you get more information about the car than you would normally think. So I think he's just wrong about that. I mean, that if our CART teams looked at it, that car's already identified.
Yeah. And I mean, Greg, also sort of, I don't want to. I'd say you're the elder statesman of the panel. I think it's with a lot of experience. Does it bother you that there's this kind of friction between not only the sheriff and apparently the FBI, the feds, but also guys working underneath Sheriff Nanos who seem to have their morale affected by him? Does that trouble you?
Yeah, it does a lot. And because it's just unnecessary. I mean, I can't tell you how many. When all the militia cases I did in Montana, you know, we're working with the sheriffs, we're working with the local cops because those guys all know these guys. And it was always a really good working relationship. I did get involved in one case we talked about a little bit last time with the Duncan case, the serial killer in Coeur d'Alene. We had a little trouble there. But that was mainly with the district attorney's office. But so sometimes it's just nonsensical. Everybody needs to put their ego aside and realize this case just has to get solved. And that's, you know, I was never in management, so I didn't ever have to get involved in all the, you know, the FBI, SAC, dealing with a sheriff, all that stuff. They didn't have me in those meetings, but for good reason. But it's It's never made any sense to me. The only thing that should matter in this case is getting this done right and getting Miss Guthrie home if we can. And everybody else needs to put all that other nonsense aside. It doesn't have a place in being good cops.
Amen to that. For Sergeant Cross, and then I'm getting back to the interview. For Sergeant Cross, is this typical of Sheriff Chris Nanos to cry, which he gets emotional on several occasions, talking about a case? It was odd to me. Certain people are emotional. Have you seen it before? Odd to you, Sergeant Cross?
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD. And when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
He's a very emotional person. Usually we in the department experience the emotion on the other end of the spectrum. But I'm sure Lieutenant Krieger could speak more freely on that.
Lieutenant Krieger, I know when to take a cue. Is he an emotional? Is he, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me, actually, being in this as a true crime host now, I mean, I am very emotional, but when I meet law enforcement guys, they're usually, they've got, you know, the Bob Krieger affect, which is cool, calm, and collected, just measured. Does Chris Nanos lack that? Should he have more of that, as especially as the top, you know, law enforcement official, I guess, in Pima County?
Short answer is, yes, he gets emotional. Yes, he has cried. No, he does not have the ability to not be emotional and be the leader that he needs to be. That's what it boils down to, because the troops see the exact same thing that the public sees. And Greg hit it right on the head. Greg, you must have worked for the sheriff's department for your entire career, because you're as intimate with your 5 minutes of answers as we all are. And that's exactly, but police work is police work. And cops thrive one thing, and they thrive for leadership. You put a good leader in front of somebody, someone who can speak well, who can talk to the troops, who can calm them in situations like this, those men and women will do anything for you. Ask Greg what he did. I used to love doing agent protection details. It was the most nervous because we had a good guy in there. But man, you've got people putting their lives on the line for not a lot of money, but for the right reasons. And when you have good leadership in place, your people will bend over backwards for you. And everyone on this panel can say the exact same thing. You know, you look up at that, and it's frustrating for the men and women, because it's not what they need. And that is what we always get. We get it in meetings, got it in meetings. And Greg, I've only been gone like 30 days for the department, so I can still speak on a lot of this. You get it in meetings, you get it in the media, you get it at the Board of Supervisors meetings, all these different places. Where when you need that person, when you need that person to stand in front of the world and say, we have this under control, we are solving this problem, we will bring Nancy home, it's frustrating that you can't have that. And that does affect the way the folks work. You talked about morale, and Eric can speak on this, but I'll speak on it for him. We did a morale poll a couple of years ago. 98% of the department gave a vote of no confidence to the sheriff for various reasons. Think about that number. So we have roughly 450 commissioned officers. We're not a small agency. This isn't Mayberry. We need to do better. When you look at those numbers, it was given to him, and you know what he did to that number, to that note? He ignored it. He chose not to follow up with the unions and say, hey, how can I fix this? That was an I problem. That wasn't a we problem. How can I fix this so we can, in 3 years, when we have this crazy case, we can all be doing our best? And that's what the agency needs. That's what the people of Pima County need. That's what they deserve. And it probably sounds like I'm a little frustrated, and I am, and I know Aaron is, and because it's been like that. And that's, it just makes things more difficult than it has to be. You look at some of these folks who talk around the country, just agency heads, and you're like, your jaw's on the ground. Like, man, that dude's squared away. That lady is just, she's dynamite. I would work for her in an instant. And unfortunately, that's not what we have here right now.
Yeah. I'm getting back to the interview in a second. I mean, Kurt Dabb, anything you want to add, to this? I mean, it's upsetting to me. And by the way, Aaron, real quick, how long has Nanos been sheriff for? What's his tenure been?
So he had a brief stint in 2016. He was appointed when the previous sheriff stepped down. Then he was defeated. So he had that 1 year under his belt. And then he returned to us in 2021. And so we've had him since January 1st, 2021.
Yeah. So Kurt, to you, I guess my question is, when you knew that, you know, I think everyone knew after the first couple of days, this was going to become a huge story, but you guys all kind of know the inside baseball that none of us know, or we're just, you know, we're learning about after the fact. But Kurt, the question is, did you know that this was going to be a big problem with this case because of the leadership here?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Not only the leadership, but what that leadership or lack thereof did was cause a mass exodus from the agency. So what you're left with now is basically rookie cops training rookie cops and doing complex investigations that they don't have the experience or the mentorship to successfully, you know, do. I would like to say, you know, if me and my old homicide squads were on this case, you know, it would have been solved already. And, you know, I'm not going to jump that far, but a lot of the miscues or things that should have been done, you know, the first day, the second day, weren't done, and they had to go back and, you know, rectify that. So, yeah, it's taken a hit, and we have 196 deputies, patrol deputies. I think Sergeant Cross put this out a couple of weeks ago, and 101 of those 196 deputies are still on probation. So they're just fresh out of the academy and don't even have a year on yet.
Wow. Jack, crazy. Yeah, that's insane. Jack in the Box here is recently a retired law enforcement member of New York State. We are leaving in droves due to lack of leadership, not to mention the fact, you know, these guys are way underpaid, in my opinion, for the kind of work that they do. I mean, this whole part of it is really distressing. So let's go back and we will watch. I'm going to take this back a hair again. This is Chris Nanos, the sheriff we've been talking about. And I think since 2021 now, he's been around. As you've heard, a lot of people leaving because of him. But here we go. This is him talking to the Today Show. I'll take it back just a hair.
Other closed. We also asked about that new Ring camera video obtained by Fox News Digital showing a car 2.5 miles away.
Yeah. Is this really something we should be looking at?
Look, what I would tell you is this. We're aware of it, and we're looking into it, just like any other piece of evidence.
Have you been able to identify the car that drove past at 2:36 a.m.?
No.
No. But you are looking to identify it.
We're looking at that vehicle as well as hundreds of thousands of other vehicles that were out driving that time of day.
Nanos says they still haven't identified the other clothes the suspect was wearing and told us this about the backpack.
We've now learned that maybe it wasn't purchased out of Walmart. That backpack is new, is exclusive to Walmart. But who's to say I didn't buy it and put it on eBay? That's what we're looking at.
With so many questions, he told us there is a lot they're just not sharing.
There's so much that everybody wants to know, right? But I would be very neglectful, irresponsible as a police law enforcement leader to share that with everybody. We have information on this case that we think is going to hopefully lead us to solving this case. But it takes time.
And you'll get there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's good to hear, Liz. And by the way, you asked a lot of questions that have been top of mind for a lot of folks who've been following this case very closely. What did the sheriff say, if anything, about the DNA that was found at the house?
Yeah, Craig, that's a big question. I did ask him about that. He said that they are still having some challenges processing that DNA. He suggested that it may be a mixture from several people, not just two people, which we know from experts can make it really hard to extract an individual profile from. He says they have put some of the DNA they found into CODIS, the FBI's national data bank. No hits yet. But despite all this, he says he still does believe that the unknown DNA may be the suspects and that he still very much sees DNA as a viable lead for them, but that it's just going to take some time.
That is from the Today Show this morning. Let's just deconstruct this a little bit. You know, the beginning of the story obviously starts with Savannah Guthrie, and I just want to say that STS Nation, I know there are a lot of survivors in here in our community, and our hearts just go out to the whole family. I mean, they're suffering in front of the world right now. But Chris Nano says, there's a lot of intel, a lot of leads. Now, as for those cars, Sergeant Aaron Cross, let me go to you. I mean, he says we're looking into it. There are hundreds of thousands of cars. I mean, that's an insane statement. There are literally millions of cars in this country, but I mean, they don't need to look at hundreds of thousands of cars. Condescending comment, or is he just inexperienced in the position and maybe nervous in front of a national camera crew?
Probably the latter. This is Foothills Beat 2. It's slow during most parts of the day. It's especially slow at nearly 3 in the morning, 2:45 in the morning when this thing's doing its getaway. If it's going southbound, it's probably trying to get to River. There isn't that much traffic at 3 in the morning. I worked midnights for a long time. That's why I worked midnights, because there's not a lot of traffic and for family reasons. It was great. So there shouldn't be that many vehicles driving around that time of day. Certainly not hundreds of thousands. There's 1.1 million people in Pima County. So not that many are out moving around, and half of them are cops. So if they have any cameras that they're looking at, hopefully they have some that they can try and, you know, narrow down some vehicles, maybe ones that match this one, and try and run them down. But certainly not hundreds of thousands. I think he was just kind of nervous and speaking. I took note of him saying that we're absolutely going to solve this. I thought, okay, that's a promise.
Yeah. I mean, do you have faith in that, Sergeant, now that you mentioned it? By the way, real quick, Carly Beans here said that he said hundreds of thousands at those hours, which makes it even worse, because you just heard Sergeant Aaron Cross say there's not that. And I lived up there. Trust me. That part of Tucson is sleepy, especially, 2 in the morning. But do you have faith, Sergeant Aaron Cross, that this will be solved, as he says?
I think it's more likely than not, eventually, given enough time. And certainly I'm not privy to everything that he knows, of course. But I'm optimistic that, again, given enough time. But every case has a trajectory. And, when you're sending four detectives and a sergeant over to a task force and telling the rest of the detectives to just finish up what they're doing and go back to work, that's a trajectory. It's not one that's heating up, just in my opinion. But again, maybe he knows something that I don't.
Yeah. Greg, to you, something Kurt said just stood out, which is this mass exodus, and now you've got basically rookie cops training rookie cops, and it almost sounds like the people investigating this very serious and high profile crime might be lacking experience. Your thoughts just on hearing this?
That's very concerning. To work a case like this, you've got to be squared away. And by that, I mean, you have to have a lot of cases under your belt. You've got to be very good at prioritizing what you need to be looking at. And you've also got to be very good at involving your co-case agents and analysts and other people that you work with, and understanding what their talents are and what they can be doing for you, so that you whoever the case agent is on a case like this has to really just know what they're doing. And so I'm hoping that there's some of those left, and that those who they've got working. The FBI is, it's sort of a silly analogy, but it's true. When there's a major case, you know who has the respect because they become the case agent. And everybody in the office knows that. Nobody snibbles about it. I mean, if there's a major case and somebody got assigned as the case agent to that, that wasn't someone that everybody really respected and thought was really good, they'd speak up. And it just doesn't happen. The Bureau is very good at picking what my training agent called the horses. When a major case, you know, hits the office, you know who those folks are because those are the ones that get assigned. So this case needs to be in someone's like that. In their hands, not somebody that's learning how to work a kidnapping case.
Guess what, SDS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you, and I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that 1,000%. Let's work our way back the other way. Lieutenant Bob, this question was on my list for tonight from Gia and TJ's mom. Have been here. She's been here for a long time, so shout out to her. Do you think it's more sinister that no one is coming forward for the $1 million reward Savannah's offering? Wouldn't someone want that money and say, hey, I'm coming forward with what I know? You heard Greg talking about that earlier. It's a large reward now. And the silence continues. Lieutenant Bob, what does that tell you, if anything?
Well, it tells me exactly what Greg talked about earlier. Whoever did this is just being very quiet about it. You know, I've said since the videos came out, someone knows who's in that video. And honestly, maybe they haven't seen the video. Maybe it hasn't popped up on their news feed. They just don't pay attention to the news, which isn't uncommon for a lot of folks. But, you know, sooner or later, that dollar amount is going to speak to someone. You know, we've said it. There's no honor amongst thieves. But I do think that whoever did this is just they did what they needed to do. And they've kept to themselves and they've kept very quiet. That doesn't mean they're not, you know, eliciting other things, like just their behaviors and things like that. Like someone's probably telling me, you've been acting weird for a while, you know, stuff like that. But I would think sooner or later, a reward is going to be one of the things that causes the information to come in, because drunk night at the bar, someone's going to slip up and make a comment like, that was weird. How would you know that? And that might lead to the tip that that the sheriff's department and the FBI needs to solve it.
Yeah. COE, if possible, can we get the suspect video, too? Because I just want Greg to take a look at that before he has to jump. Greg, do you have to leave at the top of the hour?
Yeah, but I mean, not exactly, but I've got a interview I'm doing tonight on a case I'm working here that I've got to do, but I'm not in a huge rush.
By the way, since you're not in a huge rush, what makes an undercover a great undercover?
Acting, and you have to be able to, like Kurt was saying, you've got to be able to compartmentalize all that. You've got to realize that when you're undercover, that's not you. You're someone else, and you got to look at it just like a part you're playing. Because you know, when I was in Southeast Asia, you're hanging around with pedophiles for like 30 days. You're saying stuff. You can't believe you're saying, you're in clubs and seeing stuff that you'd wish you'd never see, but that's part of what you got to do to catch these people. So it's,
Well,
I think, you know, acting ability and an ability to turn that off when you're not, you got to be able to separate from that part when you're not that person. You're going home at night. You may have a wife and kids there. And so you got to be able to realize it's just a part you're playing.
I was going to say, especially, you know, if you're a family man and you have a wife and kids, it's got to be incredibly difficult to separate from that. But, Kurt, you're up next here. So just going along with what Chris Nano said to the Today Show, he also talked about the outfit that this, quote unquote, Nest camera person is wearing. And then he throws up a lot of questions about it. Including not knowing what the outfit is, not knowing the brands, and then goes on to say that the backpack, which many people thought was purchased at Walmart, also kind of backpedaling on that. Look, law enforcement uses certain tactics. So I don't know if they're close to nabbing someone because it's a Walmart who has, I have no idea, but at least publicly he's saying, yeah, we have no idea what this outfit is, where it comes from, and we're not sure if this backpack that comes from Walmart comes from Walmart. And as a matter of fact, it might not. Again, Kurt, these are troubling things to hear 31 days in.
No, they absolutely are. And look, you know, for the 7 years that I was in homicide at the Sheriff's Department, I averaged investigating anywhere between 12 and 20 a year. And that includes all manner of deaths, whether it's officer-involved shootings, homicides, missing people that turned into be homicides, unexplained deaths. When you're investigating homicides or somebody, you know, that has, we'll use cop parlance here, and because I'm retired, you can't sue me. real victims of crime, you know, real victims of violent crime. When you're a detective working a case like that, you're amped 100% adrenaline the whole time. And would you get that first break, like the first search warrant that they served down in Rio Rico? I've been there before, and you know, Lieutenant Krieger keeps saying, you know, there's going to be more search warrants, but when you get that first search warrant and you're like, yeah, this is our guy, and then you wait, you know, a few days for the DNA to come back, or, you know, the search warrant records from the phone download and all that stuff. And boy, oh boy, you know, you get let down and your adrenaline goes to zero and you're basically starting over. So that's what's, you know, happened with this case twice. You know, and it's not starting over in a sense where you're starting from ground one, but you're just starting over, moving on from that subject, you know, that interested you, that you were hoping was going to be the, you know, the coup de grace. And now you got to get back to the drawing board, and you really have to suss through the evidence, you know, to get there. And it's going to take some time.
Yeah. Aaron, I'm going to come to you, but let me just go to Greg for this kind of broader question here, which is, how does law enforcement gain an advantage, an upper hand at this point, Greg?
You just got to keep working the case. I mean, you keep doing the kinds of things that people don't realize, and they seem very mundane, but you keep interviewing everybody that you can. You keep following leads. And they're getting thousands of leads at those tip lines. Those things get overwhelmed. And I don't mean to criticize those, because I think the vast majority of people that are calling them are really trying to be helpful. But unfortunately, you also get a lot of, you know, I saw this red Camaro, and, you know, so now you're looking at red Camaros. It's got nothing to do with the case, but that's not in any way to say that people shouldn't keep calling, because their intent is well-meaning, and they're trying. So you've got to be prioritizing those leads. I mean, just stuff that sounds boring to the average person, but that's what the agents are going to, and the cops are going to keep doing. And I'm very hopeful that we're going to get a lead that nobody anticipated. We've solved the Elizabeth Smart case, the Joseph Duncan case, huge cases like that were solved off just leads. Somebody calling and saying, hey, I saw them in a car, you know. Yeah. And so you never know. It can be something as simple as that. So they're just going to keep following those leads, and hopefully we get one that's productive.
Yeah, Greg, I don't want to bore the rest of the panel, minus Aaron, because he was not here yesterday, but Bob and Kurt heard this already. I got an email that just caught my attention, and I'm kind of a little OCD, maybe. I'm fixate on things, but the person is, they're an American Sign Language, they're fluent in American Sign Language, if that's how you would say it, but they use sign language, and they said when they were watching this, I'll show you where, that there is a sign made in American Sign Language. I'll pause it for a quick second. It's coming up right here, Greg. But I then reached out to people who know American Sign Language, and they confirmed to me independently that they believe this is American Sign Language. Bob doesn't think so. I don't think Kurt thinks so. And I'm not suggesting 100% that it is. But she said to me, she says he taps, and it's coming up in a second out here, but he taps the upper left hand with the right hand, then glances toward the driveway. That's a sign meaning, hey, pay attention. Typically, you tap a couple times, but it could also mean on, as in the camera's on, because he only taps once. It might just be on, but either way, that's communication. That's the email I got. So I sent it out, and it comes up right around here, right when he looks up and he kind of makes a quick motion with his hand. And this person thinks he's motioning to someone outside of the view that we have there. Kind of an out there theory. But your thoughts and just more broadly, your thoughts in terms of having to investigate every possibility, including this one.
I'm not at all opposed to investigating every possibility. That's not something I've heard. That's very interesting, but it's
it happens right here, right there, boom, it's quick.
Yeah.
It's
interesting, he does look up also when that happens, and I clearly, and I've been pretty open about it, I think there's no way this guy's there by himself, and it's just highly likely there's someone sitting out there in a car, and so whether he just waving to the guy or telling him, you know, whatever, but I'm not fluent in sign language at all. So I don't want to make an opinion about that, but I think the chance that he's communicating to someone out in a car, I think is highly likely, whether it's sign language or just waving at him saying everything's cool. But I think it's almost goes without saying that there are other people there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that myself, thinking that there's got to be more, you know, there's got to be an accomplice here. Cooler by the Lake, by the way, Kurt had to jump. Huge thank you to Kurt, and I'll shoot him a message. I didn't realize he had to bounce at 8, but thank you to him for joining us. The Google searches, Lieutenant Bob, let me come to you, and then Aaron, I promise I'm coming back. But these Google searches, and Greg, if you have to bounce, don't be shy. We love having you, but whenever you have to roll, just
I got a few minutes. This is always very interesting.
Okay, cool. But Cooler by the Lake, there was word that someone was searching Bob Savannah Guthrie, and was searching her mother. And this is prior to the crime. If I would have to assume that the FBI would have completely suss that out, you know, figure that out by now. Would they have an answer? I mean, that seems like it's a very obvious thing to get an answer to.
Well, it depends, you know, what ability, what authority do they have to go in and start searching, you know, all of Google's records? They need search warrants when you're starting to get into data collection like that. Now, if, you know, were there probably dozens of searches? I'm sure there were, just because of, you know, the billions of people in the world. But to specifically, you know, ask Google to, hey, give us all your search data on Savannah Guthrie in the last 6 weeks, I think they might be hard pressed to give that up without a search warrant, to specifically to the individual users and things like that. Now, if they had specific information about persons or people, then yeah, they're going to be able to get that. No problem. Greg talked about the analysts and things like that. If they get any electronic equipment, those folks are going to be able to start getting into that and getting into the really the minutiae of that. It's not as easy as calling Google and saying, hey, give us everybody's name who searched Savannah Guthrie and, you know, from January 1st to January 31st of this year.
From one man army, Greg, to you, and I promise, Aaron, I'm coming to you with night vision. What color would the backpack really be? Does the FBI, I mean, I assume the FBI and others, but would they be, and I may have asked you this previously, but would they be looking at this video that we just showed under different sorts of lighting and illuminations to try to bring out every possible detail, Greg, sort of like what you were saying with the surveillance video of the car?
Yeah, there are all sorts of ways to enhance that. So it's not like you're looking at it through SWAT night vision gear. My fellow SWAT compatriots know that can be difficult. They know exactly what color that backpack was. Those things are not difficult to do. You'd be really amazed with what a good, we all use acronyms too much, but what a good computer team, a CART team can do. They know the exact colors of his clothes, the exact colors of that backpack. They know what those gloves are made out of, whether they're, leather or nylon. Those things have all been very, very intensively looked at. So it's not going to affect anybody's ability to determine what color that backpack is.
Yeah. Sergeant Aaron Cross, back to you on the Nanos interview that we just watched. Aside from saying, he'd have to look at the quote unquote hundreds of thousands of cars on the road at that time, the Walmart backpack, maybe not being Walmart. He also talks about the problem with that DNA, because it was put out there that there was some foreign DNA, but that they're having a real issue processing it. And it sounds like now he is indicating that there are multiple profiles, not just another profile or two profiles mixed together. How concerning is it to you from a forensic standpoint here? And I know that's probably not your wheelhouse, but that they can't figure out DNA here.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there's pre-rolls, there's bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Yeah, like I told another podcast, I'm not a DNA expert. I won't pretend to be one on TV, but it was concerning when he said that it was, I think he said it could potentially take months or years even.
Yes.
Bob, did he say that? Did I get that correct?
Yeah, he did say, he did say that.
Yeah, it doesn't invoke a lot of confidence. And if they're talking about multiples, what does that mean? How many multiples are we talking about? How many are in the house are we thinking? So it raises a lot of questions. Like I said, it doesn't invoke a lot of the confidence that this will be resolved in the short term, but they'll still keep working the case. And Greg's right. I'm sure they've got all those articles of clothing dialed into what they are, where they're sold, and then cross-referencing where all these backpacks and articles of clothing are could be purchased at in one stop, and then trying to go find, okay, who bought all these things at one time. Maybe we'll get lucky and see some Walmart video. But then he claims that maybe it wasn't at the Walmart. And that it was an eBay. So maybe that was a dead end. I'm just speculating, but yeah, it's hard to say.
you know, I don't want to put you on the spot. And again, feel free to not answer my questions. But is it, are you at a point where it's just not fun to go to work now? Because I've been there. I've been there and it's not fun.
It's that like is one an of, understatement.
It is.
Yeah.
And I assume you're not the only one, man.
No. Like Lieutenant Krieger mentioned, we do morale polls. So I took over our union in 2023, and we're the largest union in the department. There's three on the commission side. And out of the 300 and I think we have 395 current commission deputies and detectives, we represent just shy of 310, I think. So we're getting to the point where we're representing all of them. But every year since 2023, we've taken a morale poll, and it consistently returns near the bottom possible number. And they come with a lot of comments. Morale is bad. And as I told Mr. Brian Enten, you know, because pay is always an issue. It's always an issue with cops.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that you can either treat your employees poorly or pay them poorly, but you can't do both and expect them to stick around. And that's what's happening. We've had just a mass exodus waves out of this agency to other agencies. And Kurt was absolutely right. You know, 195 deputies on patrol, 101 are on probation. That means if you call 911, the odds are likely that you're going to get a probationary deputy. And I assure you, if you call 911, the person you want answering your door has 10 years on, not 10 months on. There's nothing like experience. Experience is everything in law enforcement. So yeah, morale is horrible. This place used to be a great place to work. And when Nanos came in, he and his hand selected chiefs, are the primary drivers of the problem in this agency. They do arbitrary discipline. Our current patrol chief right now, likes discipline. He's very heavy handed with discipline. If he just doesn't like something, he'll discipline you. And so it doesn't make it fun to come to work. The guys just sit there and they do the calculus because cops are humans too. And they say, well, if I go out and drive around looking for trouble, I might get jammed up for it. So maybe it's better to sit under this tree and wait for a call to come in.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. You know, I haven't really thought about it much at all, to be honest, until you're talking about it. But, you know, the public elects the sheriff, but it's law enforcement has to work under him, not the public. Yeah. So maybe something needs to change because I'm not going to get into specifics, but the one thing in my life, I didn't care about money. I didn't care about fancy cars. I wanted to become a national correspondent in news, and I did it. And when I got to where I got, which was, this is not political because I worked at MSNBC. I've worked at ABC. I've worked for all of them, but when I got to Fox News, it was the worst experience. I'm getting to that, COE. Thank you very much. The great Brian Enten has a soundbite in here. But when I got to Fox News, it was the absolute worst experience of my life. Had nothing to do with the news. It had everything to do with the corporation, the people running it, and just being there at a bad time. I happened to be there during the whole Me Too movement. It was an awful time. But the reason I'm bringing that up is there is light at the end of the tunnel. I'm having more fun doing this than I've ever had doing anything else. And, you know, it's easy to say and it sucks when your job sucks, but keep the chin up. And I know you're a tough guy. So the other side, you see, Lieutenant Bob has survived, but you will come out stronger on the other side. So that's my message here. Now there is, we'll get to this. Greg, real quick, do you think Nancy is alive?
I sure hope so. But the being really honest about it, the chances decrease every day because of her age and her medical history. And but then again, if you'd have asked me that same question about the Smart case here in Utah, 6 months into it, you know, it was almost a year when we found her. So yeah, great things can happen, but I don't mean to be cynical, but being real honest about it, I think the odds are decreasing.
Yeah, I think that is the consensus. They didn't pay me to do this, but I smell a new podcast called Krieger Cross and a Little Dab. A little dab will do you. I just came up with that. That's my talent. That's why I make no money. But yeah, I think you guys need your own show after this. And Greg, you definitely need your own show. Now, Brian Anton here, he is a friend of ours. He obviously is the kind of the go-to reporter. He also started a YouTube channel this summer and has like triple our subscribership, which I'm very bitter about. But what can you do? He's much more likable than me. Here you go. Here's it. I have no idea what
this is. Outside Nancy Guthrie's house. There's been some action today.
Oh, that's not it. But this is it.
They showed up. It seemed like they were maybe doing some work on the house, locksmiths. They were by the... I'm outside Nancy Guthrie's house. There's been some action today. First of all, there were some people that showed up that seemed like they were maybe doing some work on the house, locksmiths. They were by the front door of the house. They were then at the back of the house. There's also these private searchers that have shown up with metal detectors going up and down the street outside Nancy's house. They said they were maybe looking for jewelry or a bracelet. So kind of interesting. They're still out here right now.
I don't want to pick on anyone. Brian, thank you for that. But when I saw this dude and I'm like, I thought for a second like he was Pima County and I'm like, this dude is definitely not Pima County, but he's out there with the metal detector, probably making a ton of dough in the desert there. But Sergeant Aaron Cross, what's going on here? It's day 31 or so, if not 32. And you've got a random guy with a metal detector and a garden spade. Just seems a little odd. And they did talk to Brian. And apparently there are also some, quote unquote, real law enforcement officials there looking for jewelry or small items. Does that strike you as odd on day 31 or 32?
Everything about this case has struck me as odd. So yes. Yes. I mean, they're trying to help. You know, maybe they think that maybe they'll get something that'll break the case open. You know, hats off to them for trying. It's I think we're grasping at straws at this point. I didn't recognize the people that were going up there. Bob, did you?
No, they were definitely federal, in my opinion, but they were cops for sure.
It doesn't look good that we continually have law enforcement going back out to the house. After we continuously turn it back over, I always come back to public trust and confidence in what we're doing. And it's like when we're done with the house, we should be done with the house, period. And nothing left to gain from being there. So again, it's just not a good look to continually have, whether they're federal agents or local agents, continuously going back out there after we've repeatedly turned it over.
Yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 15 years ago, which is when I lived in Tucson, I felt like law enforcement there was top of the food chain, to use a Joe Rogan expression. You know, crimes were committed, they were solved. Bob, am I wrong about that? I mean, I feel like, you know, Tucson has quite a bit of crime. But, you know, when I was working as a reporter, I told you I worked at Kay Reed reporting on that case, which was a big case. And then Gabby Giffords. And it seemed like everything was really well run, well organized, and things were getting solved.
I 100% agree with that. Aaron and I have talked about this for years. We used to be the top dogs in law enforcement in Southern Arizona, and we took pride in that as an agency. People knew the work that we did. We went to every call. We didn't take shit. We did what we needed to do. We just did good police work, meat eaters out there doing what we needed to do. There's a lot of reasons. I'm not going to throw all the blame at any one thing, but things have changed. There's frustration in the agency. Again, Aaron and I will speak for myself, and I can speak for Aaron. We've talked about this, the frustration that we are not like that anymore. Blame COVID, blame inexperience, blame the sheriff. There's so many different things you can blame, but as now a retired law enforcement professional, that's frustrating. I worked Gabby Giffords. I worked details with her prior to the shooting. I was out there every day. TPD worked Kay Reed, and that was a huge case. Things got done. They got solved. Murder for hires, talked about the Triano bombing, all of these things that, you know, we used to just take pride in just as cops, you know, just out there beating the pavement, doing what we needed to do. And again, my long-winded answer of saying, yes, it has changed. And it's probably changed nationally as well, too. We're not in a bubble here. The types of folks you're getting in law enforcement are different. There's all kinds of reasons behind it, but there's definitely a difference.
Guess what, STS Nation? I'm actually feeling sort of calm today. But whenever I feel calm, it makes me incredibly tense and uncomfortable because I'm used to living with high anxiety. But luckily for you and for me now, I have found an amazing company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. And I'm talking about Mood.com. And the reason I'm feeling so chilled out is because of Chill Out Gummies. They just calm you. And I can't explain why. And then, you know, I've got a little bit of ADHD, and when my mind is all over the place, well, I turn to Mind Magic Gummies that really help me with my focus. And then when it is time to call it a day and my mind is still running, it is Sleepy Time Gummies that help knock me out within 15 minutes, which is 14 minutes longer than it takes Fred Ethel and the COE to fall asleep. But if gummies aren't your thing, don't worry. There's flour, there are pre-rolls, there are bakery treats, and even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Yeah, Gary Triano, if you guys don't know that, I was actually friends with his daughter for a while when I was in Tucson. Google that. That was a huge case. Car bombing, and then I don't think a lot of people know, but the DC sniper case started in Tucson on a golf course, right? Was it on the golf?
Fred Ankey out east.
Wow, that's so crazy. I pulled this video back up, Greg, and then we'll just wrap it up in a moment and get some final thoughts. But Greg, you know, this scene was released literally like a day or two after the crime occurred. I mean, and credit to him, our friend Brian Enton was the one that got that blood spatter video, because that's what a reporter is going to do. But it seems like they released it. And now here we are, day 31 or 32. And these, according to Bob, are federal agents. The hell are they doing there on day 32, Greg? And I mean that with all respect.
I completely agree with Aaron. You don't release a crime scene until you're done doing your job. And so unless there's some, you know, I mean, it's always possible that there's some tip or something comes up a month later that you didn't know anything about. But coming and going back just looks bad. It looks disorganized. It looks like you don't know what you're doing. If there was some huge new tip, I would wish that someone would put that out in the media and give some reason that they're back there, other than it just looks like we forgot something, or it looks sloppy. It doesn't look professional. So again, there's always the possibility that there was some tip that nobody knew anything about, and if that were the case, I wish somebody would say something like that to the press to explain why we're back there again, so it just doesn't look sloppy.
Someone said Michael Ruiz just tweeted, and when Michael Ruiz tweets, I will check it out live, because he is with Fox News Digital. He has become a friend of mine, and he and Enton, I would say, are the two best covering this case and many others. Okay, so the latest news as of 29 minutes ago is that now a Pima County Sheriff's Department spokesperson tells us that Annie Guthrie's vehicle is now in the process of being returned to the family, which is something that we had known or thought was going to happen. Lieutenant Bob, to you, why on day 31 or 32? I don't know how many days they've had it in their possession, but why is she only getting that back right now?
That I don't know. I would hope that they were doing their due diligence. You can only search a car so much. You can only swab it so much, get so many samples out of it. But that being said, it's better to hold on to it and give it back 31 days, talking about the scene integrity. We've maintained that chain of custody for that entire time, so nothing's contaminated that car. So it might have taken a while, but they had a search warrant for it, or maybe they even had consent for it. Who knows? We don't even know. Maybe Annie said, you guys could go, if it's going to help my mom keep my car, there's a lot of reasons why it might be there. But in a vacuum, I would rather have it in our possession for those days, make sure everything's done, so we don't have the conversation we have with crazy dudes walking with metal detectors searching for jewelry in front of a house. And then people thinking we, because I still say we, and I always will say we, failed to do something 31 days ago, and now we're spinning our feet to kind of try and catch up.
By the way, very quick note, tomorrow we've got the trial all day. It starts an hour later tomorrow, so 11:30 Eastern. I'll be here. Tim Jansen will be with me. No show tomorrow night because in Miami, you can't get an appointment for an MRI apparently during the day. It can only happen at night. So I have to go get an MRI at 7:45 p.m. Eastern. And you might ask, hey, Joel, why do you need an MRI? And my answer should be, well, I was undercover FBI for years. I infiltrated gangs. Could be that I was on the SWAT team and, you know, I saw some crazies. By the way, Bob, Vesper Martini is a friend of mine. She's in the chat and she knows everything about everything, which is why we love having her. But she sent me an email. She's like, this is my go-to because I was asking you all the SWAT questions. Mm-hmm. There's some dude on YouTube's a fascinating thing to me, but there's some guy on YouTube who I've never heard of, but everyone else has. Donut something. Do you know who I'm talking about? Donut guy. Yeah. What's his name?
Donut operator.
Yeah. Donut operator. He only has 6 million subs and I have like 20. Yeah. So, but anyway, he had a video of a SWAT guy taking out a hostage taker in the bank, and he used his partner's shoulder as the tripod.
And he probably shot through a monitor too. I'm pretty sure I'm familiar with that one.
That's the one. Yeah, yeah, right through the monitor.
That's what we do. You use your friends, a little cover concealment, a little, you got your mobile.
What if your friend has to sneeze right at
he
that
doesn't. That's the beauty of it. You don't let him. He knows he can't sneeze.
He hold it in.
Then he can.
Well, anyway, I come full circle. So you might ask why I need that MRI. It's not because I slipped while using some of my friend's shoulders a tripod. It's because the chair I'm sitting in right now, I stood up from it like 3 weeks ago and almost collapsed to the ground. And therefore, I now need an MRI on my right knee. And we went to Iceland. I walked too much. We were in Iceland. I could barely function. And I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I joke about it, but I'm 56 now. And I resent my son, who's 6, and he's running around a soccer field like a lunatic all day long. But I just hope it's a torn meniscus and not arthritis. But that's enough about my knee. But it's a long way of saying there's no show tomorrow. So something about Bob, by the way, that brings out really the extra weirdness in me. So Bob, I appreciate that. And I guess at this point it'd be a good place to wind it up since I know Greg has to run too. But Sergeant Cross, on a serious note, I really, really appreciate you coming here tonight. And I truly feel for you, not because I was in law enforcement, because I have had more than one job where I hated going to work. And trust me, it won't last forever. And I know you just got to fill your life with other things like family and friends, guys like Bob. And then on the other side, I guarantee you good things are coming your way. So stay strong. And just your final thoughts on this. Do you think we're going to get a resolution here?
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for having me on. Like I said, I think eventually something will break. Someone will talk. Something will happen. I just have that feeling, you know, gut feeling, and cops operate on that all the time. Will probably slip up. And that's the problem with being a criminal, is that you have to get it perfect every time. You can't make mistakes. And cops, we just have to get lucky once to break the case open. So I hope, I feel terrible for the Guthrie family, and, you know, my heart goes out to them. And I also want to wind up by saying thank you to all the detectives and deputies who've been busting their asses on this case, working 18-hour days, several days straight. I talked to a few of them today. So
Do me a favor and please, I'm being sincere here. Please thank them for us, our community. And if there's anything, we have one of the most generous communities, and I'll talk to you off camera in a second. But if there's anything we can do, send food, whatever it is, send donuts, whatever it is. Speaking about donut operator. No, seriously, let us know and we'll do it. But thank you for your service. And
my pleasure.
Yeah, sorry you're going through a tough time with that. But Lieutenant Bob Krieger is former SWAT commander. He's been on the show more times than he cares to be, I'm sure. But I kind of like it. Krieger Cross and a little dab will do you. COE is yelling at me. I did not mean that. I said donuts. It's not because of, you know, police like to go to Dunkin' Donuts. We all know that's not don't make fun. That was not what was intended there. I love donuts, by the way. But Lieutenant Bob, you know, I don't want to say I'm losing hope, but hearing these stories about the leadership gives me reason for concern. To Aaron's point that these guys are working their ass off 18 hours a day, is that ultimately what is going to get us an answer here in terms of maybe not motive, but who these people or person is?
Absolutely. It's going to be a combination of just good old fashioned police work mixed with a little bit of luck and a dabble of probably electronic evidence and or DNA. Those are the things, but it's going to be knocking on the right doors, pulling over the right cars. You know, it might be here, it might be in New York, it might be in Maine, who knows, but that information is going to get out there. You know, Kohlberger was caught in Indiana, right? So that's how these things work. No matter what technology we have, it just boils down to good old fashioned police work. And that's where, you know, the leadership issues can run into, because, you know, you're not born a great cop. It takes years. To get that to all the nuances, the feel, all of those little things. And we're lacking that a little bit. Doesn't mean they're not working their butts off, because they know they are, because I've been talking to them as well. These are still the folks I worked with, you know, 30 days ago. I still have relationships with them, and I check in on them because I know how hard they're working. And that's how it is. And I agree with Aaron. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow, but it will be solved eventually. And more importantly, man, just heartbreaking for the family and the victims of this and every crime like this. You know, the unknown is just, it's so heart-wrenching. And, you know, we work for them. You know, we work for the family and the victim. That's really what it's all about. So, you know, keep praying for the family, praying for the investigators, and they're going to do their jobs. They're going to do it well.
Yeah, and Sergeant Aaron Cross, not to, you know, what Bob just said is really a good way to change perspective, which is you really are working for the families and the victims and not for the sheriff per se. So if, you know, far be it for me to tell anyone what to do, but maybe that helps a little bit if you switch your perspective up. But Greg, thank you for your service as an undercover FBI agent. And we'll leave you the big questions here. First off, let me ask you this. You know, we have to ask realistically. It's 60 miles from Mexico. Is that something that the FBI has seriously been looking at over this last month, following up leads, looking at surveillance footage of people going in and out across the border?
Yeah, no, you definitely have to do that. It's we might have discussed it last time. It'd be very unusual for a cartel to have conducted this kidnapping.
Yeah.
They don't want that kind of attention right now. It's not something you can just write off. You have to look at it. There's great video at border cams. I can assure you that there's been some work done since they've identified that car. They've also looked to see if that car, a car of that make and model, has crossed the border. All that kind of stuff is going on, because that's not a possibility you can just write off. Although I think it's a, I'd be very, very surprised if the cartels were involved.
Someone just asked, here's for the donut fund. There we go. And I'll take heat for that. But I am going to see what we can do at CS Nation. And email me, survivingthesurvivor@gmail.com, if you got have ideas. Maybe there's something we can do to help boost morale at the Pima County Sheriff's Department, like sending. You can send him candy, like Twizzlers or something. I Twizzlers the other day. I don't know why I don't buy them every single day. I was moping around feeling bad for myself and bought a bag of Twizzlers. And I was at my kid's soccer practice, and one kid saw, I had the huge bag too, and I was going to hoard it. And one of my kid's teammates saw it, and literally, like, they were like ants. And within a matter of seconds, all my Twizzlers were gone. And I had to sit there and smile because I was giving them to little kids, but I really resented every one of them for taking my Twizzlers. Greg, the biggest question that remains is why? W-H-Y, the small three-letter word. Have you given this? I know you have because you're now teaching as well. But why would someone do this to an 84-year-old woman?
Again, it's a my biggest concern is I am honestly believe that it had something to do with somebody who knew something about that residence. It was a poorly concocted plan by people that I don't think were very professional. And that's very concerning. So the why is, I think it was done because they thought it was going to be easy money, but I don't think they knew what they were getting into. And they certainly hadn't done the type of preoperative planning that would show that they're real pros. So the short answer for the why is I think they thought it was easy money. And the unfortunate side of that is I think it was these guys are not pros, and that's led to this something of a mess that I think they got into that they were ill prepared for.
Well, thank you. You just got the wise words of Greg Rogers, deep undercover for the FBI for many years. You've got Lieutenant Bob Krieger, retired SWAT commander. Koberger was arrested in PA, not in Idaho. And then Sergeant Aaron Cross, who is currently still with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Thank you all for your service. And Kurt Dabb, also retired Pima County homicide detective. We'll get these guys back on. We're going to stay on this again. No show tomorrow night, but we will have the trial all day. We'll be back Thursday. And the Alexander brothers, I can't believe it, but they're already apparently at closing arguments. If you haven't followed that, just Google the Alexander brothers. And we will probably do something on that this week with closing arguments there. But we'll be back Thursday. And again, huge thanks to everybody here. On your way out, please hit that like and subscribe button. We've got an active Patreon page, and that helps us a ton. So thank you. Love you, America. Love you. Are you in Utah, Greg?
Yes.
I love you, Utah. Love you, Tucson. And let's bring Nancy Guthrie home. Guess, stick around 1 second.